President Bush is making plans for a military attack on Iran. That is what the respected New Yorker magazine reports in this month's edition. The report has been written by Seymour Hersh, who has a record going back 40 years of breaking stories at the top level of American politics. He says that although the White House is publicly advocating diplomacy to stop Iran pursuing its own nuclear weapons, it has increased clandestine activities inside Iran, drawn up a list of targets, and is even discussing the use of tactical nuclear weapons against underground bunkers. I've been talking to Seymour Hersh. I pointed out that President Bush has always said no option would be taken off the table where Iran's nuclear ambitions are concerned.
Sure. I mean, that's absolutely logical. It makes sense that the President of the United States would certainly, particularly when he's bogged down in the terrible disaster in Iraq and feels the pressure in other areas, yes, it makes sense for him to keep options on the table.
So we shouldn't necessarily be surprised or particularly worried about this?
Well, here's the difference. The difference here is that for the first time, what I'm getting people talking to me about, and as some of the people there in England know, I've been actively writing a sort of an alternative history in The New Yorker for 4 or so years since this 9/11 business began. But for the first time, senior military men feel that it's time to end what they think is some of the irrational activity of the White House. And so you really have a situation in which nobody wants to use nuclear weapons. It was proposed as a rational option. When you give a policymaker, they say we want to take out this underground bunker that's 75 feet below the ground in Iran where we know there's nuclear work being done, and this is one way of doing it. Tell us how to do it. And they say the guaranteed way to do it is with a nuke, but of course here's other ways. And what happened, John, is in this case, the people in the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the American military guys, proposed that and then came back a few weeks later, or perhaps a little longer, and said, of course, we want to remove the nuclear option because it's crazy in a Muslim world. And the White House said, no, keep it in. And that's where the issue is. It's not that we're imminently planning to use it. It's that the military people want this option out of the planning papers, and the White House won't let them at this point.
Let me ask a naive question. What's the difference between using a tactical nuclear weapon and an enormous bunker buster bomb?
Well, I think we can ask the people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there's a huge difference. For one thing, with a nuclear weapon, it's a preemptive. There's no necessarily a threat. There's no real threat from Iran yet. Iran is 8 to 10 at one level, perhaps 2 to 5, depending on who you listen to, years away from a bomb. It's beginning a pilot program. But there has been a moral threshold since 1945 that nobody has crossed. And not only that, the idea of America using, after what we've gone through in Iraq, using a bomb, nuclear weapon against a Muslim country will put 1.2 billion Muslims very much on edge.
But we come back to this question, don't we, of what options the United States has. If sanctions don't work, and we're not even at the stage of sanctions yet, but if they were to be introduced and they failed to work, and if Iran is determined to go ahead with a nuclear weapon, what options are left to the United States if they are determined to stop them?
Nobody believes Iran is near to the bomb. The Israelis say 2 years or so, and their figures have gone back and forth. The official American intelligence estimate is 10 years. And so there is... I will tell you, in your country, John, there's, I know Mr. Straw was very tough today about a nuclear weapon, but there's a tremendous unease inside the British government about what Bush will do. They won't say this publicly, but I can tell you there is. There's a sense that there's a messianic sense to this, that George Bush is simply going to do, thinks it's his right and his belief that he is going to do what no Democrat or Republican would do, resolve this problem, get rid of this issue. He's described the Iranian president as an Adolf Hitler, and he believes that, I think he honestly does believe, that is his mission, his messianic mission, if you will, to rid the world of this menace.
You mentioned Jack Straw. Jack Straw has told me personally on 3 separate occasions it is inconceivable that military force should be used against Iran. Given that position of the British government, and given that the British government gave such full support to the United States in Iraq, Would George Bush go ahead with something like this, even without the support of Britain?
I don't think Jack Straw is saying, and by the way, what he said to you, he has said publicly, and there's no question that's his position in the foreign offices and a lot of your intelligence services. There is a wild card in this, and this is what I'm hearing here in Washington, and that's one Tony Blair. One does not know what Mr. Blair, despite his political troubles of today, would do if directly pushed by the president on this issue. There seems to be a tremendous sort of bonding between Bush and Blair on threats. My own guess is Bush would be very reluctant to take military action without the support anyway of Britain and Australia. He's not going to get it from the French. He's not going to get it from the Germans.
And how soon could it happen, do you believe? Do your sources tell you?
Well, the planning is no longer contingency planning. It's at the next level, which they call operational planning. There's options still being given to the president. And by the way, my understanding is that a senior military delegation will see the president within the next few weeks and formally request him to take this nuclear craziness off the table. And at that point, I don't think he has much choice but to do so. And I write in this article that senior officers are prepared to resign if this doesn't happen. This is seen as a profound ethical issue for many of the senior officers in the Pentagon. I know that sounds hard to credit. And I can tell you, the magazine I work for is careful, and we understand how significant this is, and we were very, very careful about this.
Seymour Hersh, many thanks. Well, Frank Gaffney worked under President Reagan and was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Nuclear Forces and Arms Control Policy in the mid-80s.
Iran is proceeding apace with its pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles, increasingly assertive in terms of its willingness to use them, including statements of a very ominous character by the president of Iran to the effect that he believes it will be possible within the next 2 years to precipitate the return of the 12th Imam, a messianic figure, whose coming must be presaged by the apocalypse. Under these circumstances, I think the United States, and for that matter, other freedom-loving people, must be preparing to use force, if necessary, to prevent such a regime with such weapons from achieving such an outcome.
Well, what are they making of this in the Middle East? Prince Hassan of Jordan is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do you think? Is it credible as far as you're concerned?
I think that the risk nuclear Iran poses, and that it might be used by Russia and China as a powerful card to check U.S. power in the Middle East, is something that we should take into consideration. After all, Iran blocks the end of the Persian Gulf or the Gulf region. It controls the Straits of Hormuz. And it is, however, in my view, inconceivable that the U.S., Europe, and or Israel will allow Iran to develop a nuclear project. Any proposed strategy to resolve this crisis, I think, must be premised on this.
And what would be the reaction in the Middle East, or indeed, as Seymour Hersh said, 1.2 billion Muslims, if there were to be an attack on Iran, particularly if it were to be a nuclear attack?
Of the so-called Sunni and possibly the Shia jihad from the Nile to the Brahmaputra. Yesterday, the president of Egypt was accusing 60% of Iraq's population, the Shia, as being disloyal to Iraq and a pro-Iranian. And it seems to me that there is a confrontation being the polarity between Sunni and Shia, but they would obviously unite in the face of a threat from the United States. And I think to consider such a strike in isolation of regional conditions is criminally negligent. The U.S. and under Israeli influence would not consider the consequences, possibly, but the potential for Iran and the Iranians to retaliate can't be underestimated. And I would suggest that unilateralism and short-term thinking is bringing this region closer to catastrophe. So what about a regional council to be established with the support of the United States, Europe, Japan, a Middle East nuclear-free zone called for within a regional security framework? I mean, has diplomacy run its course? I don't think it has. I think there is a possibility to suggest an alternative to confrontation.
But you acknowledged you do acknowledge, you did acknowledge, as I understood you, that the United States would simply not allow, if indeed it, this is what Iran is intending, would simply not allow Iran under this president particularly, perhaps, to develop this sort of weapon.
Well, we heard Seymour saying that the military are going to present their report and that senior officers would resign if this nuclear madness, and I'm quoting Seymour, were to be pursued. We also heard the reference to messianic on more than one occasion, describing the right-wing Christian evangelist in the United States, and of course Ahmadinejad in terms of the coming of the Mahdi. So, I mean, I for one cannot believe that the coming of the Messiah and the coming of the Mahdi in the context of apocalypse is going to destroy humanity. I would have thought that we are looking for salvation and for a savior, and I personally believe that salvation comes from within. I think that as far as the moral issue is concerned, as importantly, we are all impacted in the global world by moral considerations. A preventive strike would be perceived as, I think, legitimate by those who pursue it. But the level of that legitimacy is to no small extent shaped by the verdict of the International Atomic Energy Agency and the UN Security Council. What we're saying here is that American unilateralism will just throw all of that out of the baby with the bathwater, if you will. The United Nations, the IAEA, and be going it alone for a considerable period of time with significant powers, Russia, China, India, Europe, and the majority of world public opinion taking strong exception to being forced into this confrontation with 1.2 or 1.5 billion Muslims who are simply not going to go away.
Princess Hassan, many thanks. And let me turn finally to Jeremy Bowen, our Middle East editor. What do you make of all this, Jeremy?
Well, John, Seymour Hersh's sources are very good. Now, the question is, are they telling him the truth, or is this some kind of disinformation operation? Now, Hersh, and he used the word as well in your interview with him, he believes the Bush administration is ideological, and crucially, it doesn't make rational choices. Now, perhaps it could suit the Bush administration, though, to let the Iranians and others believe they're like that they're not rational, when in fact they are, but there's always a danger that their bluff might be called.
Yeah, but we're not going to know that, are we?
Well, no, we're not. And the thing I think that we should also think about is that if, as Hersh says, top American generals will get this nuclear option, if it's there, taken out of the plans, there still seems that there is a plan, and it's coming from sources other than Hersh as well, for the Americans at some point to attack Iran. Now, most experts in the region agree that the consequences of that kind of an attack would be catastrophic in terms of the security and the stability, not just in the region, but also wider than that. And I've been speaking to Iranians who are very well connected with the Iranian armed forces, who are saying that they regard the American soldiers, for example, in Iraq, as their hostages. That word was used to me. And they believe that they have many cards in their hand, in terms of what they could do in Iraq and in other places, and that if the Americans did attack them, they could do a lot of damage to American and Western interests, and what's more, that they would.
Given all of that, though, you cannot expect, I suppose, the President of the United States to say, we wouldn't attack. I know in this country, Jack Straw says it's inconceivable, but the President, from his position, cannot say, we're going to take this off the table.
No, he can't. I think it would be irrational, actually, on his part if he did. But, you know, looking ahead a little bit now, there may be problems ahead. The question at the moment is Iran going to be the new Iraq? Because the diplomatic procedure has started in the Security Council, and it started very scratchily. To start the whole thing off, for example, they needed to get what's called a presidential statement, normally a formality. It took weeks of negotiation. The Russians and the Chinese have said that they don't believe sanctions are appropriate in this particular case. They have a lot of economic ties with Iran, so there are limits to what the Security Council can do. Look ahead a bit to after the American midterm elections in November. What then? What happens after that? Would the Americans then, if they're saying, well, we've given the Security Council 9 months, they're not getting anywhere, what do they do then? I think that there are forces pointing towards military action. There's a logic there that is building.
Jeremy, thank you.